Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Welcome back, everybody. Tom Abraham Show. This is the second half. We really don't have 2 hours left to go. It's basically just an hour and a half because we're going to get out of here for the pre-NCAA tournament. We got some more first four action for you tonight starting at 5:30. So that's why we're going to be out at 5:30, just an hour and a half left. We still got a lot of jam-packed stuff. Tom and I just revealed our brackets for everybody, so you can sit on that and react to that for a little bit. Now we're going to jump to some big boy basketball. There is a lot of drama in the NBA being masked by the NCAA tournament right now, anywhere from the Spurs and the 3 seed through the 10 seed in the Western Conference. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Boston being injury-prone right now, the Toronto Raptors, Houston's lead in the Western Conference, and trust me, I'm not going to be able to sort all of this out for you by myself, so I bring in an expert and a good friend of the show, good friend of mine, Bo Estes of NBA TV and NBATV.com. Bo, you got to help me out with this, man. How are you?
I'm really good, but I'm busy like you, man. I'm doing NBA March Madness highlights. I'm doing the NBA. I'm on NBA TV, 10 times this month, so I'm scrambling. On Friday, I will be on NBA TV, and then the second I get off the air, I run over and do NCAA highlights. Then I run back on the air with the NBA, so it's a wild time of year.
Well, have you found time in your day to make your brackets yet? Has that been solidified, or are you going to wait till right before game time tomorrow?
I will do one bracket with my 8-year-old nephew, James. Nice. We'll do it together. We will pick North Carolina because those are the house rules. And beyond that, I don't know. But I will tell you this. I was the in-studio host for that NCAA selection show you saw. And that it was a different perspective being in the studio while the show was going on. And when they went to commercials, I tried to do anything I could to entertain the crowd. But it was something to see, I tell you that.
Wow, I bet that was pretty impressive. Now, how was it? It seemed a little confusing for everybody watching. I know going into it, a lot of people didn't care for the change of the format, so they were kind of salty going in. But it didn't help. You were there, so obviously you probably didn't find out until afterwards. But it didn't help that the audio was out of sync and stuff to start. It felt like there was a lack of drama. How did it feel in-house with all this stuff going on?
Well, it's a completely different experience watching it in the studio live with the studio audience. That's clear. And when you change a format like we did, the idea is you hope to be perfect so that you can focus your conversations on what people liked and what they didn't like, and all those criticisms are fair. And then there was a technical challenge. So I get it. I mean, we knew, you know, when you change something, there's going to be critiques. People don't like change. So we dealt with that, and we were prepared for that. And, you know, I think we'll listen to the feedback and you know, hopefully, you know, make improvements and keep what people really did like and try to present the best product out there. That's our goal, you know. Remember, the people that did that show are the same people that did Inside the NBA, which is the best studio show the world's ever seen. So they know what they're doing, and they're just trying to figure this one out too.
That was my next point. After it got past the bracket reveal and the matchups, and we got to sit there and see pretty much the Kenny and Charles show for a while, I mean, what was that like in studio? Because it was fun on the couch. I'm not going to lie to you. I sat there. I watched the whole show, the entire 2-hour deal. I paid attention to all of it, and it was captivating, even though I was also a little upset with the lack of drama, as you know, opposed to years past. But let me tell you something, you aren't kidding when you say that is one of the best shows out there, because I was hooked on watching how silly Charles is and Kenny's insight. It was fantastic.
Well, and the other thing that you get with Charles is he's not afraid to really, really strongly question somebody.
Absolutely.
And ask those questions about Oklahoma making the NCAA tournament. You know, I understand why Oklahoma did make the NCAA tournament, but I understand the critiques about them making the NCAA tournament. And Charles really, really grilled the folks at the NCAA about that. And, you know, that's the sort of moment you want. Now, I'll tell you, so what happens is Charles grills the guy, and the people in studio are fans of particular teams. So in the commercial, I wandered over to the Oklahoma guy and said, "What do you think?" And he had a nice exchange with Charles talking about it. So that's the feedback, and that's the scene that you don't necessarily get on TV, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I love that aspect about Charles as well. And sometimes I don't get to watch all the time. So whenever I see him have that kind of a moment, I'm like, man, he has all of his antics, and that's why everybody likes him. It makes everything interesting. But this is where he makes his money right here, because it's so hard not to listen and really take the words that a former, you know, or I can't really say former NBA great. He is an NBA great. He just doesn't play there anymore. And a great college player. It's hard not to take those words to heart. He can be silly, but, I mean, he definitely knows what he's talking about.
Well, that and, you know, he has the gravitas to ask the question in a way that makes it need to be answered.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the thing. If some Joe off the street asks it, they might not take it as seriously. But when Charles asks it, and he's not going to ask it in a friendly way, he's going to ask it in a way that he really needs an answer to it. It's good TV for me. So that, to me, that was about as good as it got out there, and that made it really enjoyable. Yeah. Some of the stuff, you know, the studio audience, it sounded great in the studio. I don't know what it sounded like on TV. I'll never know, because I'm obviously not going to go back and watch the thing. But, you know, I just think that it's one of those things where you do it one time, you learn a lot from it, and you make it better. And again, these are the people that do inside the NBA. So it's going to be really good. It's just, you know, how good and how quickly, you know, it takes a little time, I think.
The content after all the reveal and everything, I mean, the reveal is the reveal. I mean, it's the team's getting in. There's no real input you guys have on that right away. You're just telling us who's in. But the actual input and the insight and everything afterwards was phenomenal. I enjoyed every little bit of that. We were talking about Charles and how awesome he is on TV. Now, I do prefer Charles to Shaq when it comes to the show in the booth. But we were talking last week when it was Shaq's birthday. I believe it was sometime last week. And we were ranking,
yep.
Yeah, it was last Tuesday. We were ranking his top 10 nicknames, Shaq's best nicknames. And and I was going back and listening and thinking about Shaq. And while Charles is so awesome in studio, there was never a more captivating player ever, and still isn't, when you interview him after a basketball game or in the locker room, than Shaquille O'Neal.
He's such a unique personality, and the physical dimension of him, you know, it's humorous. I'll tell you a quick story. One time I was sitting down and talking with one of my bosses at work, and we were sitting in basically what's a dressing room where we all keep our suits and our clothes and everything like that. And we're sitting down on a couch in there, and Shaq, this is a guy who knows, you know, how physically big he is and how humorous it is, comes in and starts talking to us, but he's in the frame of the door. So you can't see his eyes, you can't see his nose, and he's doing it on purpose. He's just talking with his mouth there and making jokes at us, but that's just who he is. He's just a light, fun guy.
I would give the world just to have one conversation with that guy, just to experience it, not because I can say I had a conversation with Shaquille O'Neal. I could have that conversation and never tell a soul about it. I would just want that experience to see what it's like. And before we get on to all the other NBA stuff, since we did bring up all those nicknames last week, what is your favorite Shaquille O'Neal nickname? Because there's one for me that stands above the rest.
Okay, so mine's going to be, because I had a favorite announcer growing up named Craig Kilborn, but it would be Shaq Fu, because that's what he called him. But I'll tell you this, the first time I ever saw Shaq, he was a rookie in Orlando, and it was out on the street at Church Street Station in Orlando, and it was his Mercedes, his tag, and I'll never forget it, said Shaqnificent. So I always remember Shaqnificent, and I always remember Shaq Fu.
Shaq Fu. Shaqnificent's a good one. I don't think I've heard that one. So that's a good one. My favorite, hands down, is the Big Aristotle. There's nothing like the Big Aristotle. So, but I mean,
he's a classic.
Oh my goodness, Shaquille O'Neal is a national treasure on and off the basketball court. But let's talk about some of the stuff going on the court in the NBA, because there's drama. There's nobody's hurting for any kind of drama in the NBA right now. All you got to do is watch the NBA and show any kind of interest, and you're gonna get it. I mean, you got Toronto in the East with a 9-game winning streak right now. The Celtics are starting to slip away from them, 4 games behind them. Indiana is, 6.5 back of the Celtics, but the Celtics have all of a sudden become really injury-prone with Kyrie Irving going to miss some time with his knee. Marcus Smart might be done for the year. Al Horford is going to be out tonight. Is there any realistic chance, the way the Pacers are playing right now, 7-3 in their last 10 games, can they make a run at that 3-seed or that 2-seed?
Well, I think the challenge for Boston, at least, is their schedule. They've got Washington coming up, then they get a little break with Orlando. But teams that are hungry, New Orleans, Oklahoma City, Portland, 3 in a row. So that's the challenge for them. Those aren't easy games. I think we're at the point of the season with, 12, 15 games left where schedule matters so much. Toronto is playing brilliant basketball, as good as anybody in the NBA right now. And I'll include Houston, and obviously Golden State's going through a blip with Steph Curry out. But I would include Toronto as the best in the NBA right now. Look, that doesn't mean I think that they're going to win a 7-game series in the finals or anything like that. But they're a threat. So, Boston has got to get healthy. Kyrie Irving, more than anything else, is resting his knee for it to feel good. I don't know that I would worry too much about him as a fan. Marcus Smart is a different circumstance. There's conflicting reports about the severity of his injury. He's getting a second opinion on the injury. So if he's out, you know how valuable he is as a Boston Celtics player. So I think it's tough for me to imagine Boston really tracking down Toronto or anything like that, but they are vulnerable to teams behind them, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it's really important for Boston to maintain that 2-seed, not for any kind of advantage in the playoffs, but just to show that there is some sense of stability there going into the playoffs. I mean, with all this other quakiness going on in the East, a lot of people still expect it to be, some people anyway, I still expect it to be Cleveland that comes out, but they're sitting at the 4 spot right now on a 1-game winning streak. Yeah, exactly. If you look at it, they're like 3.5 games away. They're one losing streak away from sitting at the 8 seed right now. So, I mean, they could – I still –
Cleveland is two things to me. If you want to touch on Cleveland, Cleveland's two things to me.
Okay.
One, they're struggling right now. They're 5-6 since the All-Star break, 7-6 since the trade deadline. But when Kevin Love comes back, give me 5 games with Kevin Love, then I'll make my ultimate judgment on Cleveland. Because he's their second best player, and their second best player is missing. Take the second best player off any elite team and see what happens. I mean, you could argue that Steph Curry is the second best player on Golden State. You could also argue he's the best player on Golden State. I think that you see the impact something like that has. So, give me Kevin Love for a little bit, and I'll tell you what I think about Cleveland.
Yeah, that is a good point. And something else that concerns me with Cleveland, because it's something all year long with this new lineup and the old one, on the road, I mean, they're sitting dead even. They're like, 17-17 on the road? That's something that could potentially be a big swing in the playoffs for somebody maybe like Toronto. I think Cleveland, when LeBron flips his playoff switch on, I think it's going to be a big problem for anybody else in the East. But Toronto might be a team that could do a lot of damage at home and force the Cavs into a situation that they might not be able to come back from.
Well, the thing with Toronto to me is they are experienced now. They're also a group that's played a lot of games together. Look at their record at home. They're 28-5 at home, and they're going to have home court throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs unless Boston really steps on the gas, and I mean really steps on the gas. So Toronto is really tough in their own house. They're obviously good away as well. So Cleveland's going to have their issues getting back to the finals, and LeBron keeping that streak alive of getting to the finals is very much in jeopardy, the most that it has been in years to me. But again, I don't know who they are until I see them at full strength. Kevin Love playing with these new guys, with Rodney Hood, with George Hill. How does that go? How does he play with Jordan Clarkson, with Larry Nance Jr.? I just don't know these things.
Right.
So when we know these things, we'll really know how Cleveland's going to be.
Bo Estes with us, NBA TV and NBA.com. Now, while we're talking about Cleveland, even when Kevin Love comes back, I mean, they're going to obviously be a different team. He is their second best player. But without Kevin Love, who is, or even with Kevin Love, who is the guy that can have the ball besides LeBron that can create for himself and for other people? I mean, that seems to still be a problem since Kyrie Irving's left, and he was that other guy, you know, coming up with these big, strong playoff performances, one in particular when in the playoffs last year when LeBron had four fouls in the first half and Kyrie dropped the 40-piece. I mean, I don't. Who is that guy on the Cavs right now?
It's a great question. There is not a clear replacement for Kyrie Irving. You know, you thought it may have been Isaiah Thomas while he was there. Well, that didn't work out at all. Jordan Clarkson seems to be the next logical choice, but he's clearly not anything like the level of those other guys that we've mentioned. George Hill isn't necessarily a create your own shot sort of guy. So I don't know that they have that. You remember, When Cleveland beat Golden State, it was Kyrie's famous shot that did it. It was Kyrie's shot creating for himself over Steph that won that series. They don't have that replacement. They have a lot of really good B to B plus players, but there are less A plus players. And so can LeBron make that work? Can he make those guys better? Can he lift them up? That's the challenge, and I just don't know, you know, how that shape of that offense is going to be and everything like that. All that stuff matters because I think they have a lot of guys who can hit open shots. Kyle Korver, chief among them. He's one of the greatest shooters of all time, but they have tons of guys who can hit open shots. But getting those guys open, getting the defense to sag off someone else, you know, or sag off a player when LeBron's driving to the hole, that's the challenge. That's basically the challenge with every team in the NBA. But with Cleveland right now, I just don't know how they make that work.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And to put in perspective how important Kyrie Irving was and how hard it's just to replace the fact that you need somebody else with the ball. You can't replace Kyrie Irving, period. Think about this. If Kyrie Irving possibly, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about it. A lot of people have said Golden State's first championship back in 2015 – Golden State might not have even been there had there not been all these injuries in the West. The West had a bunch of significant injuries that year. If Kyrie Irving's not hurt in the finals, Cleveland potentially is back-to-back champions.
I think history has it wrong. I think Cleveland should have won that first title. I think Golden State should have won that second title. Mm. It didn't work out that way. I think Cleveland got Golden State's title, and I think Golden State got Cleveland's title. So, you know, it all shook out even, but you're right. If Cleveland's healthy, I have no doubt that they would have really given Golden State problems if Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving play in that series. That's a tough team to beat.
Absolutely. And before we move on to the West, a couple more things. I want to touch on the Pistons here in just a second, but you've mentioned a couple times to me, I know, about LeBron potentially going to Philadelphia to play with the 76ers, and I was thinking about that, and one of the reasons I think he might go, I was thinking about all the teams he's been on. He's always had a very good, sharp-shooting three-point guy. I mean, he's got Kyle Korver right now. He's had Ray Allen in Miami. He had, Mike Miller in Miami as well. I mean, who's he got waiting for him over there in Philly? He's got J.J. Redick, doesn't he?
Well, J.J. Redick is, I think, on a one-year deal, but J.J. Redick would certainly be inclined to come back if LeBron was there.
Absolutely.
So they've got other shooters, like Robert Covington's a great shooter that people don't know a lot about because Joel Embiid grabs all the headlines, then Ben Simmons chews up the rest. And, you know, the thing with Philly to me, everything in the world with Philly depends on what if they get that player Markelle Fultz back that is as good as we saw in the draft. There have been some videos that have been coming out lately that he's starting to turn the corner, perhaps. I'd love to see a full-strength Markelle Fultz really, really get it together because I'm just trying to put together Markelle Fultz as a young superstar. He'd probably play the two guard off of Ben Simmons, and then if LeBron came, LeBron at three, Dario Saric at four, Joel Embiid at five. To me, that could be your championship favorite, honest to God.
Oh, my gosh.
No way am I hearing that LeBron's going to Philly right now. I think they're among the teams that he would consider. But if that's your five, that's as good as anybody.
Absolutely. And consider the fact that what last year, the Philadelphia's bench right now, last year were all starting pretty much. They're starting guys now. They're still getting to know each other. I mean, I know it's late in the season now, but this is their first real year playing with each other, like Embiid and Simmons and all these guys. So you get these guys comfortable with each other, they're already more dangerous. And then you throw LeBron in the mix there. My gosh, it would be unfair for the Eastern Conference. But really quick, before we move to the West, the Pistons, good luck answering this question about them. What in the world has happened to these guys since they got Blake Griffin?
Yeah, it hasn't worked out. The funny thing with Detroit is it looked good for a second, for a brief second, like this was going to work out and they were going to make a run. And then it just died in the water. I keep pretty close track on their stats and stuff like that. And sometimes Blake Griffin will put up good numbers and they just losing games. And now if you look at it, they're 5.5 games back. They've played 67 games. So they have just 15 games left. There's not really an honest shot that they're going to get this thing done. Their one win this month is against Chicago. They've lost every other game. They're giving up way too many points. Defensively, they're a problem. So, I think the eight that you see in the Eastern Conference are very likely the eight that are going to make it. And if you were a Pistons fan that was really excited when Blake came to town, you got to be disappointed. You really do. There's nothing else I can say about that.
Absolutely. And I agree with you, the eight probably being set, especially when you look who's ahead of Detroit. With those six games, you got Miami sitting there, and they're not bad.
Yeah, they're solid too. They're really solid, and they're 6-4 in their last 10. They're a tough defensive team. So, I mean, I just think they're solid enough to get it done.
One of the Bo Estes with his NBA TV and NBA.com. One of the interesting stories in the Western Conference, the San Antonio Spurs. They went from what last week to being a 3 or 4 seed. Now they're sitting at the 9 spot right now, but that's because. From Portland at 3 all the way to San Antonio at 9 and even Denver at 10. There's like 4 or 5 games that separate these guys. That's how really close the Western Conference is. And then you start to think about the rosters in the Western Conference and like, wow, that's just – they're loaded. Everybody's really good. With LaMarcus Aldridge back for San Antonio, do they get it done? Do they jump the Jazz or the Clippers and squeeze into the playoffs?
I'm not confident of it. I'll tell you that right now. Look, they're 4-11 since February 1st. They beat the Orlando Magic last night, which is not some huge accomplishment at this point, particularly Orlando's situation. They scored a season low 72 points. That snapped a 3-game losing streak. So LaMarcus Aldridge last night goes for 24-7. No other Spurs scored more than 13. So who else is going to get it done? Obviously, the drama is what's going on with Kawhi Leonard and what are those doctors in New York going to say about his injury. But, you know, whether they get in or whether they don't, if Kawhi is not healthy and really ready to go, I don't think they're a serious threat anyhow. Last year, they were a serious threat, and if Zaza doesn't step underneath Kawhi Leonard's leg in the Western Conference Finals, it's trouble. It's real trouble. You know, Golden State's down a game, and it looks like San Antonio has something figured out. So I'm not sure that they will make the playoffs, and I'm not sure that this is a team that really, without Kawhi Leonard, has the strength to do anything in the playoffs if they got there.
Yeah, I agree with that aspect of it for sure. For me, I'm honestly just more so intrigued to see if they can keep their streak going. You know, I think that's really all that's in play here is trying to keep their, 20 years in a row going to the playoffs? So
and the other side of it is watch them get lucky and, you know, win the lottery or something and end up with DeAndre Ayton. And then you got your new Tim Duncan for the next 15 years.
And with Pop, too, putting him in Pop. And I don't even think Greg Popovich can make that kid boring.
No. Well, this year's draft is transformative in a way that it's been a long time since I've seen a draft this good. DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley, so many players that can just walk in and change the prospects of an organization. So I'd be really excited if I were those teams at the top of the lottery. But, you know, if you're those last teams that are just sneaking in, the odds aren't that great. And, you know, it's likely that, you know, you're not going to get that top pick. But, boy, San Antonio got lucky there for a couple times.
Yeah, the two drafts that I pay attention to, the two really important drafts are the NBA and NFL drafts, and they're always different for me. When it's just a quarterback-heavy draft in the NFL, like one position heavy, it's really interesting to me, and I like it. But in the NBA, when you got a mixture like we do now with a couple awesome forwards, available and some really good guard play too. It just makes this thing so awesome.
Yeah, and you're right. You talk about guard play. You're in Alabama. Colin Sexton has proven himself to be just an absolute monster. And not only that, I mean, he's got all the skills and the athleticism and everything, but he's clutch.
Yes.
The NBA likes to see clutch. So he's the guy I think people are looking at more now. It was Trae Young earlier in the season because just Trae Young just seems like the first true Steph Curry clone out there.
Yes.
So I think that's what people are looking at with him.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Colin Sexton because all the things you just mentioned, his athleticism, his clutchness, I really like his charisma and how controlled he is when he's excited. I mean, he's not one of these super emotional guys. He knows how to keep himself in check when things are going good and bad, and that can go a long way too.
And he does just seem like a winner to me.
Yes.
He really does. And that bodes well for Crimson Tide fans coming up in the next couple weeks in the brackets. If they can get on a run, everybody's dependent on that one run they get on. There's no overwhelmingly dominant teams in this year's NCAA tournament. Virginia's defense, and look, I'm a Carolina fan, and they have shut us down. So they're tough to beat.
Yeah.
But they've picked up an injury since then. Villanova's very good, but I don't think that there's a team that's just going to mow through people. So if you're a fan of an 8 seed, you got a chance this year, and it's definitely going to be fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. It's all about matchups more in particular this year than it has been in the past or that we've seen sometimes in the past because you've got these great teams looking to get a good matchup as opposed to, let's say, what, the 2015 tournament when you had undefeated Kentucky, you had Wisconsin,
sure,
and you had Duke, and you knew it didn't matter who they played, they can beat any style of play until they get to that Final Four. You just don't see that this year.
Well, the thing I always remember is the 2009 Carolina team was our best team. We won 3 titles this century, and that was our best team. There was not a team that came within double digits of us. We beat everybody by double digits or more.
Oh, I remember
that tournament. Just steamrolled it.
You beat my Sooners in the Elite
last
Eight.
Last year's North Carolina champion team was nothing like that. They were squeaking by and squeaking by, and it was fun. But, boy, it was not the sort of dominance. And I think you should expect more of a team like that to win this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I remember that 09 team. You guys knocked Blake Griffin and my Sooners out in the Elite Eight, I believe, so by like 12. But, Bo Esses has been our guest. We're a little over time, but, man, that was a lot of fun. I love talking to this dude. Bo, looking forward to getting you back on next week with the Big Dog. Have a great, busy, but great weekend.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Bo Esses. My goodness, basketball, that is the guy to talk to. I could sit there and talk to him all day. I had to get out of there because next, I didn't want to talk too much March Madness with him because we got Matt Scalise coming up next. We're going to dive into Alabama, we're going to dive into Auburn, and we're going to talk about what he thinks about the SEC's chances. We know Tom, we know the Big Dog, his predictions are a little bold. He's got 5 SEC teams making it out of the first weekend, which means he's got 5 SEC teams in the Sweet 16, which means, and a couple of those play each other, which means he's got at least 2 SEC teams in the Elite Eight. He's got Kentucky going to the championship. So anything can happen. I think this could be Kentucky's year if it wasn't for the bracket they were in. But we'll get to all that with Matt Scalise next. We're a little over time right here. Tom Abraham Show, 730, 103.9 The Ump. Stay tuned.
Sports Radio, 730, 103.9. The Ump.
Hey, it's Jim Dunaway and the Roundtable Guys on The Ump, 103.9 FM. Our next show features Wimp Sanderson. He'll tell us how important Dante Hall is to Alabama if he makes it back into the lineup. Plus, the early tip times. We'll get you ready on The Ump.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free.
Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text LIKE to 797979.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising. Merowitz and Wasserberg is responsible for the content of this ad. Attention. If you or your loved one had an IVC filter implanted in your body to prevent blood clots to your heart or lungs, you may be entitled to financial compensation. The FDA has issued an advisory that these IVC filters may break, puncturing veins or organs, causing serious injuries, including heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, even death. Even if you have not experienced any injury at this time, the IVC filters are considered a ticking time bomb by many. Call now for a free legal consultation at 800-469-0112. There are no fees unless you get a settlement. Since 2005, there have been thousands of injuries associated with IVC filters. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-469-0112. Now, to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply. Call 800-469-0112. That's 800-469-0112. Again, 800-469-0112. Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average, a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $10,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our Debt Reset program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-841-6021. Now, there are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the Debt Reset Program can work for you. 800-841-6021. That's 800-841-6021. Again, 800-841-6021.
Here's a list of reasons why AT&T prepaid is a great prepaid choice, according to Julius and Deb.
When you switch to AT&T prepaid,
you get two ZTE Maven 3 smartphones for free.
And two lines for $75 a month.
Hey, I was going to say that.
Beat you to it.
AT&T prepaid has no annual contract.
No activation fee.
And AT&T's reliable network.
No hidden fees.
No credit check.
No compromises.
AT&T prepaid has plans for people who like great prices.
Plans for people who like great deals.
Flexibility.
Reliability.
Customers named Deb.
Customers named Julius.
Customers in Springfield.
Customers not in Springfield.
The list is long.
Really long.
Thanks, Julius. Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome, announcer guy. Hey, I was saying that.
No matter your reason, switch to AT&T prepaid and get two free ZTE Maven 3 smartphones and two lines on AT&T's reliable network.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Two for $75 per month requires two new lines of service on the $45 monthly plan each under a multi-line account. Account owner on autopay. Reliable network claim for third-party sources, fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Details at att.com/prepaid.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection, and Match is not only number one in first, but second dates, too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/search for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/search. That's match.com/search. Match.com/search.
Terms vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-300-2330. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals Guide. That's 1-800-300-2330. That's 1-800-300-2330.
Another cold night tonight. The sky cleared, the low at 32. Tomorrow, a warming trend begins, sunny with a high at 67. Friday, partly sunny and mild during the day, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Friday night, the high 69. Saturday, a chance of scattered showers, the high 73. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Well, it's a long way to reach.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show here at 4:34. We're getting closer and closer to 5 o'clock, which means we're closer to 5:30, which is when we are bouncing. We got less than an hour left today. We're going to send you off to the first four action, the pre-NCAA tournament. One more little play-in game for you tonight. But I can't do the drop of that song. I know Tom likes to wait for the song to drop. We got a lot of stuff to get to because we have Matt Scalise of AL.com on the line. And we're going to have some sensible talk about Alabama, Auburn, and some of the SEC teams here in the bracket because, as you know, I have one SEC team making it out of the first weekend. Tom had five, so maybe there's a median in there. Matt, really quick, welcome. How are you? And what do you think about Tom's five SEC teams into the Sweet 16?
Hey, first of all, you're giving me way too much credit by saying that you're going to get sensible talk about basketball from bringing me on, but I appreciate it. I think that's pretty optimistic for Tom. I've gone through the bracket on my end and you know, picked my own predictions about who's going to win here, and I do see a lot of SEC teams getting bounced in the first round, but I think a big part of that is because for so many of these, in the top half bracket, I think I seem to see a trend going down at the end of the season for a lot of these SEC teams. And again, it's pretty tough. I don't think anything would surprise me, but, you know, the SEC gets a lot of credit for being a tough conference here and a conference that, you know, beat each other up. And I think as a result of that, you see a number of these teams really look like they were struggling down the stretch. They couldn't, there weren't a lot of teams that were consistently winning towards the end of the season. I think there are a few that look like they're trending up, but most of them kind of seem like they were going in the opposite direction, a lot of the tournament teams anyway. So I think that's probably why myself and a lot of other people don't have as many SEC teams advancing past the first weekend. But there's a lot of good teams that accomplished a lot this season. So maybe I'm being unfair to them. You know, it's possible that I'm not giving them enough credit for how difficult the SEC schedule was this year.
Right, and that's a good point. And I'm going to ask you a couple of these because I don't expect you to get super detailed with all of these SEC teams. I don't think anybody does. I'm just curious about some of these matchups and how you have it slotted. The first one, Kentucky. I don't think there's anybody in the SEC that got a worse break or in the entire bracket that got a worse break than Kentucky. I mean, they go on this great run. They shoot lights out in the SEC tournament. They win that bad boy for like the 28th time in their career. And then they draw a 5 seed where they play Davidson first round, which that's going to be a tough one to get out of. And then they have possibly Arizona with the best player in the country. And then they have the 1 seed after that in Virginia, the number one overall seed. So awful break there. I don't know where you have them out. So tell me, where do you have Kentucky being beat if they are being beat? And how far possibly could they have gone if they didn't have this tough draw?
Well, I think you're right. It does seem like a really tough draw, and Kentucky did that to themselves because they kind of floundered for a big part of the season.
Yeah, good point.
And I don't know that there's anybody playing hotter right now at the end of the season than Kentucky. It does look like those young guys finally started to have things click for them. They finally started to get into a flow, especially offensively. And if they can keep that going, I think, you know, look, you got one of two things when you see a team like Kentucky in a bracket like that. They're either going to get knocked out quickly, or they're going to wreak a lot of havoc on that bracket. They're going to be knocking out some teams that nobody expected to get knocked out that soon. I actually think I would see them, realistically, I could see them getting to that game against Virginia in Sweet 16. I think it'd be tough for them to get further than that, and it would be pretty surprising if they did, but again, to me, they're really surging right now, and they're looking like they're getting more comfortable,
yeah,
which tends to happen with a young team like that.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right, and I'm going to level with you. I have Arizona beating them, but your pick is very sensible. Your prediction is very sensible. Tom, on the other hand, has Kentucky going to the national championship game. So
I mean, I don't think of any team to be kind of a surprise pick for the Final Four. I don't think that's a crazy pick,
right?
Because again, I just think when you have such talent and such youth combined there, I think there is a possibility that it all comes together at the end of the season, and that may be happening with Kentucky. We'll see.
Yeah, and Virginia, Arizona, I don't care who it is. They could be playing the Warriors. They shoot 80%, 83% and a half. They're probably going to win that game. So
it's tough. Yeah, I mean, I think what Kentucky will need to do is continue to shoot really well from outside like they did in the SEC tournament, and I think they're going to really need to bring their A game defensively, which, again, they have the athleticism and the talent to be a great defensive team. I think they just need to kind of keep their heads about them, and some of that can come with maturity. I think that's what Kentucky fans are probably hoping happens.
Oh,
down the stretch.
Oh, for sure. And that's kind of what somebody who picked against them early in the tournament, that's something I'm struggling with too, because of how hot they have gotten late in the season. And that scares me. I don't think they're going to stay that hot, but I have that constant what if, because they're fresh. I mean, that's the last thing we saw from Kentucky was how hot they were. So that scares the hell out of me, and I'm losing sleep over it making this pick. But another one, I had Tennessee lose in second round to Loyola Chicago. That's a brave one, I know. But Loyola Chicago, it stuck with me. They beat Florida in Florida, I believe, earlier this season. So I have Tennessee out. But the one SEC team I have going to the Sweet 16, the only team I have making it out, is the bold pick by me. That's Missouri. So help me out, man. Try to make that sound like a good pick. I mean, I'm hoping Michael Porter Jr. does something. I don't know.
Well, they did look really good down the stretch of the SEC season. I know they got knocked out early in the conference tournament, but I think for the most part, Missouri is one of the teams that I would put on the side of the SEC as those teams that are looking good down the stretch, that are surging, and there's not that many of them that did. But Missouri, again, I think they wrecked a lot of people's, RPI down the stretch in the SEC. Mm-hmm. But they're a good team. They're a talented team. And I think it just took them too long to find their way, I think. But they made it into the tournament despite that. And I don't hate that pick. I think they're a pretty dangerous team, but I think they're probably in not a terrible bracket. So I don't think picking them to get to the Sweet 16 is that crazy. I don't have them getting there, but I do think that the way they've been playing of late, it wouldn't take something that out of character Missouri to get that far.
Matt Scalise, AL.com, is here with us and making my picks, trying to make me sound good, and I really appreciate that. And mainly the pick I had, I like the way Missouri played down the stretch. I know adding Michael Porter back, he was a little rusty, but a lot of my decision-making had to do with the fact that I'm just not sold on Xavier. So, but that's another story. I don't know. I watched their two of their biggest losses to Villanova get handled pretty easily. I didn't feel comfortable with. But let's get into what everybody else wants to hear about. And something I'm intrigued, I wanted to save the best for last here. Let's get into this Auburn and Alabama matchups here. Alabama, obviously, if they get out of this matchup, they'll probably run into one seed Nova. But they have Virginia Tech, Buzz Williams and company, bringing a pretty good Virginia Tech team, to be honest with you. What do you think Alabama has to do outside of Colin Sexton and to realistically get out of this matchup? Because honestly, Alabama is one of those teams where this is the only question mark for me. If Alabama beats Virginia Tech, I think they have a pretty good shot against Nova, because they have that thing where they beat the teams they're not supposed to beat, but they lose to the teams that they are supposed to beat. And this is kind of a toss-up, pick-em game. But outside of Colin Sexton, who has to get going, since Dante Hall is like a game-time decision?
Yeah, well, I think for one thing, as a team, Alabama needs to take care of the ball better. And I know a lot of that does come to Colin Sexton, but I think Dejon Ingram plays a big role in that too. This is a team that when they've struggled, they've turned the ball over a lot. And I think they need to, in general, play a little bit smarter, play a little bit more under control. And, you know, I think that's a huge part of not allowing opponents to get hot offensively. You got to control your possession. So that's a big thing for Alabama, I think. If they can clean that up, I think they'll be in a lot better shape, and I think they'll be less susceptible to other teams going. going on a big run against them offensively. To me, another thing that Alabama's got to look out for, particularly with Virginia Tech, is, you know, shooting from three-point range. This is a very good outside shooting team. They have excellent guards. And I think for Alabama, again, we've caught against Kentucky. Obviously, that's a very talented team that can do a little bit of everything. But Kentucky, I think what really prevented Alabama from being able to make a comeback in the second half, and they did make a big run and had a shot at pulling that game to be a lot closer, what really put them away was they were unable to defend that outside shooting by Kentucky. And I think if Virginia Tech shooters get hot, that's going to be a problem. So Alabama's got to defend the perimeter better. And, you know, with or without Dante Hall, I think they have to find a way to really just be more than a one-dimensional team as far as playing defensive. Alabama can be really tough to you know, drive the lane against. But if you're a hot shooting team from the outside, that has been a problem for Alabama. So those are two things they've got to clean up most effectively if they want to have a shot in this game.
Yeah, that's a great point, especially the point you made about Alabama making a run against Kentucky. And the only thing that really prevented that was the ridiculously absurd percentage Kentucky was shooting in that second half. I made this point to some buddies of mine earlier in the week. I said if Kentucky, you know, shoots, you know, 50%, Alabama wins that game.
Oh yeah, I mean, I believe they did pull it to a one possession game or at least close to that in the second half. They really made a charge at it, and Kentucky, every time Alabama would get close, you know, Kentucky was knocking down threes, and those are just so difficult to recover from, I think, emotionally too. So this is a team that this Virginia Tech team is capable of that. I don't think they're as powerful overall offensively as that Kentucky team is, but they're a team that when they are shooting the ball well, they can give anybody trouble. This is a team that has beaten North Carolina, Duke, and Virginia this season. I believe they're the only team that has done that in the ACC in like 20-something years.
Wow.
So this is a team that I think wasn't always consistent, but when they were able to get hot offensively, they seem almost unbeatable. So Alabama's got to find a way, I think, to play a good, well-rounded defensive game. And I think on the offensive end, they need to make sure that they're not turning the ball over and giving Virginia Tech free possessions.
Yeah, that's a good point. Matt Scalise here, AL.com. Realistically, if Alabama is clicking like the Giant Slayers they were earlier on in the season, if we see that Alabama team in this tournament, what is their ceiling?
I think they definitely can give Villanova a game. And I think that's what you hope for Alabama. I think it's a very realistic expectation to say, let's see if this team can beat Virginia Tech, win an NCAA tournament game. I think if they do that, no question this has been a successful season for Avery Johnson's team. I think what you want is to have a shot at pulling off that upset against Villanova. I don't think anybody would be disappointed or upset with Alabama in that fan base if they didn't win that game, but I think it's realistic that they could have a shot at them. And again, if they're playing the way that they did against Auburn, against, you know, some of their other top teams over the course of the season, the way they did against Tennessee earlier in the year, they can knock off Villanova and they can get Sweet 16. I think that's way above and beyond a realistic expectation for this team, but I think it's possible that they could do it. I think if they get there, if Alabama is hanging around the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, this was a wildly successful season for Avery Johnson.
You are absolutely right about that. We got to get going here, but final question for you. Auburn has not been very good since McLemore got hurt. With him out, with the stretch they've had to end this season, where do you have Auburn out?
I think they'll be okay in the first game. I think I'll be very curious to see how they look against Clemson. It's not a world-beating team, but Clemson has enough athletes out there that I think they could really test Auburn's depth, and that's Auburn's issue right now. They have enough in the tank to win a game against a team that can compete with them physically. So to me, that's where I still have Auburn making it to the Sweet 16. I think they're good enough. I think their starters are good enough to get them there. But, you know, if somebody is able to get Auburn into foul trouble, if they're able to really keep some of those starters on the bench for any significant portion of the game, Auburn starts to get in trouble. So that, I think that's what they have to stay careful with. They have to make sure they don't get worked at the free throw stripe, and I think they have to make sure that they keep everybody healthy and keep their legs fresh, which is tough to do with a depleted roster like they've got. But look, hopefully Auburn comes through. I think it'd be fun for the state to have a team hanging around after the first weekend of the tournament. I think Auburn's got the best shot at doing that right now.
There you go. Matt Scalise, AL.com. He agreed with me a few times, so he's obviously a genius. I'm going to gloss him as one. So, Matt, I really appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. Have a great weekend. Matt Scalise, we really appreciate his insight there. We got to get a break. When we come back, wrap up this hour, set you up for the last half hour of the show. A special little guest in here with me. We'll get to that at the top of the hour right here on 730 1039 The Ump. This is the Tom Abraham Show.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Ump.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection, and Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/search for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/search. That's match.com/search. Match.com/search.
Earnings vary based on your effort. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, text WEALTH to 82,000. Seating is extremely limited. Text in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. Text WEALTH to 82,000. That's WEALTH to 82,000.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email, so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts, and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. grasshopper.com/radio. As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email, so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts, and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. grasshopper.com/radio.
Hi, Tom Baudette. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. or for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Your parents took care of you. Then, one day, you start caring for them. It's one of those moments when people realize that where you get your medicine matters. And they look to CVS Pharmacy for advice and ways to save money. Plus, you can earn up to 50 extra bucks rewards each year just for filling prescriptions. So join us at CVS Pharmacy. Terms and conditions apply. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other state restrictions apply. See cvs.com/pharmacy rewards or the pharmacy for details.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-461-2525. That's 800-461-2525. 800-461-2525. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no-contract advantage. Unlimited talk and text plus 3 gigabytes of high-speed data for $25 a month with no mystery fees and no activation fees ever. Just $25 a month on a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network and no contract. That's our best deal ever. Buyers now at nationwide retailers like Best Buy or at Simple Mobile dealers. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
A month equals 30 days. Limited time offer ends 9/30/18. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site, according to ComScore total visits.
Hey, gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter. I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average, a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $10,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our debt reset program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-841-6021 now. There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the debt reset program can work for you. 800-841-6021. That's 800-841-6021. Again, 800-841-6021.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in Huntsville and Florence? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show, Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the Huntsville and Florence area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. Huntsville and Florence are perfect markets for my system, and next week, I'm holding a free two-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get two free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-300-2330. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals Guide. That's 1-800-300-2330. That's